No, don't touch
Love
it yet.
Talk Radio.
I can get that from here.
Hello?
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fathers, we come again. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, Father, to give us knowledge, to give us wisdom, and to lead us deeper into your word, Father, and to bring us the power, your power, Father, that anointing, so that we can do the work that you would ask of each one of us to do, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout this service, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, going to be speaking to you again this evening from Acts chapter 9. Now, you know, we've been going through the book of Acts because that is the beginning of the New Testament. You know, Jesus came on this earth to do two main things. Well, three, actually. He came to fulfill the law and to establish a new way and a better way for you and I to become the children of Almighty God. And he came so that we could do that through him, covered by his blood. Because it takes blood for the forgiveness of sin. The very first sin created in the scripture was covered by blood. Adam and Eve sinned there in the Garden of Eden. When Jesus came down and found them, and they knew they were naked, he covered them with skins. Those animals had to die for their sin to be covered. We have a better way, and then too, We've got a way, really, that leaves no excuse for us whatsoever. Think about it. Think about that. No excuse. None. Because once we come to Jesus and we repent of our sins and we're baptized into his name and then we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't live with sin anymore. Now, because you see, we are covered by his blood. Covers each one. That's why we are to be baptized into Jesus' name. Not the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was John's baptism, and that was done for repentance. And it was then, and in that time, that's the way it was to be done. But you see, you and I, we're not baptized for repentance. We are baptized to put on Jesus Christ and to have him come and live within us. Sixth chapter of Romans explains that to us. I'm not going to get into that right now because we will be getting into it later on, God willing, down the road. Now, but here in chapter 9, we're still dealing with a lot of people that are really against the Lord Jesus Christ while he was still here on the road. Now we're beginning and getting ready to deal with one that Jesus is going to have to deal with after he left here. And that's our Brother Paul, but this all happens before he became Paul. First verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Now, you see, he hasn't gave up. We know that he was standing there in 7 and 8 consenting to Stephen's death. And now he still hasn't given up in doing away with anyone that was to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. And desired of him letters. He went to the high priest now. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any in this way, the way is the Jesus way. That's what he's wanting. He's wanting to get anyone that's following Jesus or teaching about Jesus. He goes on here too and says, whether they were men or women, didn't matter to him who they were, so that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Because once they were brought back there and bound, they were put into prison and even killed because they followed Jesus. One day, again, man is going to have to choose who he's going to follow, whether it's going to be the Antichrist and Satan are the Lord Jesus Christ, and to follow Christ will mean his death. Think about it. Now, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. This light coming down from heaven now is all around him, shining all around about him. Just think about that. What all that will do. How scared would you be? How afraid would you be to walk out your door, front door sometime, and get out in the yard and a great light from heaven shine around about you? Here in verse 4, lets us know how afraid he was. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is Jesus asking Saul why he's persecuting me. And Saul's answering him, he says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He's letting him know that it is hard even for him. Because you see, Saul is considered and looked on by most of your Christian people as a rebellious beast that fights against the master. And we know that he is always persecuting the name of Jesus because he's always afflicting the body of Christ. You know, and when someone actually goes against the Christians, Jesus Christ, then Jesus knows about, but he not only knows it, but he also feels it just as we do. Think about that. How could he do that? How could he feel that as we do? Because he's here with us all the time. If you are a born-again child of God, he's living in you. He's right here. And he feels what you feel. He knows exactly what it is. Now, verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him. Now, he's asked the Lord. And you know, this is, the Lord Jesus knows all things. But this has given him a witness that he is willing to do what Jesus would ask him to do now. And he told him, he said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. But things ain't quite done with him yet. And the men which journeyed with him, they stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. They don't see anybody talking to him, but they could yet hear the voice. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. His eyes, through all of this other, had been closed. You think he wasn't scared? His eyes stayed closed until right now when he arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He had to be led because he was now blind. Now, verse 9 tells us that he was 3 days without sight and did neither eat nor drink. He's fasting them 3 days. And you know, we need to fast more than what we do. And there's several things that we need to pick up on and do a lot more often than what we ordinarily do. And one is communion. And come Sunday morning, God willing, we're going to have communion. So all of you that will call in to join us, have your juice and your cracker or your bread ready. All right. Now, here in verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Now he's speaking to Ananias in a vision. A vision God will give to you and can give to you. And you can see it just as plain. And you're not asleep. It's not a dream. And it's not a reality as of yet. But it usually comes with a prophecy of the Lord telling you something he wants you to do or something he's calling you to go and do. Now, we see he's talking to Ananias here, and he tells him, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Ananias answers him, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. This 3 days of him being blind and having this house, he's doing a lot of praying. And he's praying now. You hear in 12, he says, and has seen a vision. He's given Saul a vision also. In his vision, he says, a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. He gave Ananias this vision to go to him and lay hands on him to heal his sight and get sight back to him. But he's also used the vision to let Saul know that he is coming. Because, you see, he wants no doubt there. Now, 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. You see, he's letting the Lord know. He knows about this man and all of his evil deeds, and how he was treating the Lord's people. And he goes on here in 14 and tells him, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. He letting the Lord know that he understands what's going on with Saul and these priests and all. but listen to the Lord Jesus. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, you know, this is the thing. You see, he doesn't leave anything undone. Nothing. And he goes on telling him, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He let them know he's got to suffer now. Just like he's told you and I. If we're going to preach his gospel, we're going to be persecuted. But Dennis, you, Kenny, myself, they're going to lie on us. They're going to talk about us. They're going to ridicule us. They're going to laugh at us and do anything they can do to tear down what we are doing, to build up. Now, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, he's getting ready now to have one that's not going to have to wait any longer for all of the plan of salvation to come to him. And it's going to happen quickly, because Saul is going to take care of all of that. Now here in 18. And immediately, wait a minute. I missed something. Okay. I missed 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight. Now he's got his sight back. But now, forthwith, he arose and was baptized. Now he's been baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Now, don't you notice something? Now, by him being, he's baptized and all, but as yet, it's not telling us that he's been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. We know several days now has gone by as we went through these next couple of verses. We come now to 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this man in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? Once again, he's bringing this out. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now you see, he's already started preaching. They've already started talking against him. 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews which took counsel to kill him, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Not only was they talking against him, but now they've got it in their mind to kill the man. Because now he is preaching about Jesus. So this lets you and I know that we are going to face things we're not going to like in order to preach the truth of God's word. 25, then disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now here the other rest of the disciples not wanting to believe that he's a disciple because they knew what he had done. And he had brought many back to be jailed and to be killed. And they knew of his standing there, giving his voice when Stephen was stoned to death. They knew all of this. But then Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You see, he's got one now that is witnessing for him to the other apostles that they know to be an apostle. But that's only to the apostles. Now, 28 says, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. They're still after him to kill him. 30. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Now they're helping him get away. He came from being killed right now. Because you see, God, when he calls us to do something, he has the plan already laid out. We just have to wait on him and his will and his way. Now, 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. You see, his going in to Caesarea and Tarsus gave the churches there in Judea and Galilee and Samaria a little ease. They didn't have as much coming against them, and they began to multiply and grow. 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Onesimus, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of palsy. And Peter said unto him, Onesimus, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Rise, make thy bed. And he rose immediately. You see, these apostles that you and I teach from Because when we teach God's word and we teach the truth of God's word, we are teaching the apostles' doctrine that God gave to them, that they recorded so you and I could have it to this day and on until the end of the church age. Think about that. Not that we don't think about a lot of things we should be thinking about. Now, verse 36. We're going to be talking about a lady now. This is a godly woman. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Well, we know what the work for the woman in that day and time was, because it's given to us in other places. I'm not going to get into that right now, because it won't be long until we will be getting into all of this. Now, but it's letting us know that she was doing the work that God had laid upon her to do. 37. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Now, they hadn't buried her. They just put her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay and to come unto them. They're sending for Peter now. You know, their mind is at work. When you really stop and see what this is really telling us, they washed her, they cleaned her up, and they laid her in an upper room, and they sent for Peter because they're wanting Peter to bring her back to life. They know he can because he is a man of God. In verse 39, then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. She made coats and things. Now, they're showing these to Peter. We're here in verse 40. But Peter put them all forth. He put them all out and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. He had prayed to the Lord to make sure it was God's will, and then that God was going to do that act. We today are to act in the same way. We are to act when God tells us to act, not before, but as he tells us to act. And he's not going to talk to you and I until we have moved close enough and strong enough in his word to be obedient and to use the power He has given us to do that act. Knows this now. And Peter, he knelt down and prayed, turned to the body, and said, "Tabitha, arise." And look what happened. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Immediately. This is all done. Immediately. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. You know, I wonder how much fear was in that group that Peter took Dorcas to show her alive. There was a lot of joy, yes. But you can bet there was a lot of, that there was a lot of fear in seeing that much of God's power at work. Because wasn't much, hadn't been much of that going on in that day and time, just like in our day and time. For people to see you and I pray for somebody to be raised from the dead, we're going to cause quite a stir, ain't we? A big stir. Even to see healing done today is going to cause a big stir. Because there's not much of that going on either. There is some, yes, but not much. And in 98.9% of our churches, it's not going on either. Because they're not teaching the truth of God's word. Now, next two, and then we're going to be closed. He presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, Lon, because of this act, you see, there is, says many of them, are believing now in the Lord. They're accepting the Lord Jesus because of what they had seen. But you know, a greater thing that we see in God's word, before he was telling his disciples, and mainly Paul, he was blessed because of them being saved, because they were seeing things he was doing. But then he told him also how you and I would be blessed over leading some in that hadn't seen anything. You see, when you actually teach God's word and the truth of it, there is power in that word. And the greatest miracle known to mankind today is not the healing of the sick or the raising of the dead. It is seeing that one converted from his evil ways to righteousness, accepting and bringing the Lord Jesus Christ into his life and being forgiven. That is the greatest miracle that we can do today. Now, we'll end with 43. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. We're going to find out whom they all sent to Caesarea. Was in Caesarea a long time. And this will be coming up either Sunday night or Thursday. I'm not sure which one yet. Because Sunday morning, Brother Dennis is going to be speaking for us. And I don't know what he's planning on or working on. don't know he knows yet. Nope, he said nope. So he don't know yet either. But knowing Brother Dennis, he'll give you what God gives him. That I do know of him, or he wouldn't be speaking to you from this ministry. Because I know he's going to be giving you the truth of God's word. You see, we're not here to make friends, although we hope for some friends, but that's not why we're here. And we're not here to please mankind. We're here to please the Lord our God with our lives. And when we do that, we'll be doing his work. And we'll see great things happen. And we'll see others come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This will all work when we walk in obedience unto the Lord our God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you, Father, for this word. We thank you, Father, for these men that walked long ago, that kept righteousness in their life, kept the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit with them, that recorded this for us, Father, to make a way for us to walk in righteousness and make heaven our home. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace to them. We know that right now, Father, we're not having much peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for the land of Israel to come out from under the law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, the land that our government has brought so much evil upon its own people, bringing things, Father, even into the church that should not even be brought among mankind. Horrible things, Father. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will join with your born-again children. Bring us all together. And come election time, to remove those from office that's against your church, against Jesus, and against your people. And let us replace them with ones, Father, that will work for all three and help us to put our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for Dennis Lee, for Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, for Brother James Taylor, for Bobby and Sister Millie, for Sue and David Branson, and Father, for this little church down the street, those that are still attending there, Father, bring them all into your word. Bring them into your way. that we can all walk together, Father, and begin to grow, helping others, building that church, Father, according to your will and way. Not man's, but yours. Make it a place of worship, Father, to worship you, to walk always praising, bringing praise. Now, Father, myself, our families, we all have family members that are not your children. And we pray, Father, for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, be forgiven, and to bring Jesus into their life, to live with them, and to seek the presence of the Holy Spirit, to be born again. Because your word tells us, Father, that unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Father, I pray that none be lost. And I pray, Father, that everyone that is at that little church will stay with us and help it all to grow, but to grow in thy word and in thy name. And Father, watch over us as we prepare to separate, to go our own ways. Keep us all through these next days and nights in health. Bring us together again from Sunday morning when Brother Dennis will be speaking for us. We ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. What you been up to, Dennis?
Oh, yeah. Better get that all cut off. I gotta get this cut off, too.